Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It was a day we anticipated for its inevitable next step to glory. One in which we could repose, fingers intertwined behind our head, awaiting what Stefan Tuitt called an easy one. However, it was not to be. It was attributable to one thing.
Us sucking.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It's December 3rd, 2020. This is Tom coming to you from Sawdust Studios in the Washington, D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost to talk about a Steeler victory over the Ravens 19-14.
Listen, there were some victories yesterday and there were some losses. You're going to have victories in life and you're going to have losses. Sometimes there's even a loss within the context of victory, except when we're talking about Bet Online, because when you win over there, all you get is money. You get cash, baby. Football's in full effect. We're over, well over halfway through the season. I mean, man, we're in the final stretch right here. You better get in the action while it's still going on. BetOnline's going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on all of that action. We got great game spreads, totals, team player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And if you're smart, you'll bet the Steelers to win but not cover for every week. And, you know, that's a hard bet to make. The win but not cover? Well, it's an easy bet to make when you're talking about the Steelers. So head over to BetOnline today and use that promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. ARMCHAIR is that promo code. BetOnline, ching, your online sportsbook experts.
Who in the listening audience who saw this tweet didn't cringe when they read Stefan Tuitt's tweet about this one being an easy one?
I was in shock. I thought I had to check. I had to double check for the verified icon. I thought that somebody made a Stefan Tuitt Twitter as a joke to say I legitimately had to click on his profile, confirm that it was actually Stefan Tuitt. That was shocking that he said that. I mean, yeah, he's right. It should have been an easy one. And actually, part of me almost liked him saying that because the Steelers should have blown them out by 30. And by the way, you know, they almost did. We'll talk about that in the podcast. But it also just confirms everything we've thought about the Mike Tomlin Steelers throughout his era, which is they really don't take bad teams seriously. And I'm sure that's not just with the Steelers, right? I mean, but the Steelers are one of the examples of the best teams. When anyone, by the way, when anyone wants to say, oh, Steelers aren't winning that much, pretty sure over the last 20 years, they're the second most winning team to the Patriots, the best team we've ever seen. So, yeah, they win all the time, so it's extra weird when the Steelers play down to opponents. But Tuitt all but confirmed that mindset in Pittsburgh of thinking that games are going to be easy, even when they never are in the NFL.
Look at this year's games and how close they came. There's no reason for the Steelers to think that. I mean, how many games should have been, if not one blowout game all season? All we need to do is look back at the Cowboys.
Two blowouts? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we know, but we've covered that point ad nauseum. It's just the perfect way to start the podcast off. We're going to talk about that again. We'll probably talk about that this week when they play a really feisty Washington team down to the wire to a win or a loss, because a loss is certainly not out of the question with the Steelers basically playing a doubleheader, quote-unquote, a doubleheader a few hours after this game, which is what Ben said angrily, spitefully, in the NBC post-game interview on the field. They're going to play Washington soon here. But what's the real headline here? It's a twofer. The number one headline to me is Bud Dupree's out for the season. And that injury, I'm sorry, it's catastrophic. It's nothing short of catastrophic. When you're talking about the Steelers this year, number one, Ben. You can't lose Ben, obviously. We saw what happens there. Number two, you can't lose TJ Watt. Number three, you can't lose Bud Dupree. Because when you're talking about edge rushers, you're talking about premium positions who create pass rush all on their own on the outside with one-on-one matchups. Devin Bush, that hurt, but he's in the middle of the defense. You know, there's other people there. You still have Vince Williams. You still have all those big boys to it and Hayward in front of him. Okay, that's fine. You know, Zach Banner losing your right tackle. Well, hey, we might never know. They might be a lot better run team if he were in there. But once again, we talked about it. Offensive linemen, you can survive that. When you're talking about an edge rusher, there's a reason why they are the second highest paid position in the NFL behind quarterbacks, because there's just only a couple guys in the league who can do it consistently. There's maybe 10 guys in the league who can do it consistently. The Steelers have two of them. So I just want to get this off my chest right at the top of the episode. Right, and I'm very glad we did this today and not last night, because we would have had a much different timbre. Let me ask you first, what do you think this does to the Steelers' Super Bowl chances? I think that it has significantly lowered the Steelers' Super Bowl chances. I will put a number on it. I think 25%. Yes. I know, that sounds insane. Is that a little high? I don't think so, man. But by the way, that doesn't mean they can't win the Super Bowl anymore. I mean, the AFC, the whole league is kind of watered down this year, right? But you just have to be worried because, of course, there's just this looming beast of Kansas City that you know is going to be able to move the ball on you. But you know that the Steelers have a chance of, you know, maybe taking the ball away from them with all the chaos they cause in the front four. The thing about the Steelers team this year, they're 11-0 because every facet of the game is at least solid. The offense is it makes you want to gouge your own eyes out, but they are solid. They have great talent at receivers, we thought. And the quarterback's playing well, and there's some continuity there. The defense is pretty incredible. The kicker is great, or is supposed to be great. The kick returner, punt returner is fantastic. Dick, except for yesterday. But there's only one unit on the entire team to me that is consistent, and that's the front four. Bud, TJ, Tuitt, and Hayward, we've been saying it all year in our recaps. It's like, well, and then there's the front four, and they're great. We already know that. They're amazing. They're guaranteed 3+ sacks a game. I mean, it's unheard of. And so many of the interceptions that the Steelers get are really caused by Bud and TJ getting the rush. The Steelers' corners are good, not great. They are a really smart, communicative group, but they are slow. They don't have a lot of fast guys. So it's not like they're out there. We don't have really anybody that can play man-to-man. So it's not like they're out there just hawking people down like they do in Baltimore. We saw what Baltimore was able to do yesterday in between injuries. So much of what they do comes from that front four and then Minka really solidifying it in the back end. So that's why I think you're taking the biggest blow to the most consistent, I mean, thank God it's not TJ, to the most consistent part of the Steelers team, the part of the Steelers team that makes them special, that one unit that is unstoppable. You know, the Steelers had the killer bees before, an unstoppable unit. And I know you and I have talked about they never really averaged 30 points a game. That was weird. But part of that was because the defense was so bad that every offensive drive had to be 80 yards for a touchdown, whereas this year, half of our drives are 60 yards. I mean, the defense puts them in such great positions. They've scored 4 or 5 times this year. But what I'm trying to say is there's a group with TJ, Bud, you know, Cam, Steph, whatever, that's just unstoppable. There's no team in the entire league that can truly stop them. And that group has just been weakened. But, you know, you still have 3 Pro Bowl players there. That's great. So that's why it's alarming to me. Now, and then it's just from the human element, depressing. Because the guy has the best story ever. I mean, he was basically a bust for 3 years, works his way up to be a legitimate superstar player, and 10 games or so before he's going to get his major contract, which he'll still get a good contract. He gets many millions of dollars chopped off of it with that ACL issue. So that's what I think. That's what I think on the negative side. I can give you the positive side after, but yeah, what do you think that this injury does to the Steelers?
I think it probably isn't as bad as when we lost Ryan Shazier.
Right.
Can I put it in terms? Sure. I'm not sure how to quantify with a percentage. I think Keith Butler, right, the master of defense, will scheme something up.
Yeah, right.
With Alex Highsmith and his 11 snaps. Yeah, well, and look, I don't think the Steelers were on a juggernaut to the Super Bowl. I think their chances were higher than it have been in any recent memory. But I always thought the Steelers are going to need breaks.
Yeah.
Sorry, no pun intended, are going to need breaks to get to the, and to win the Super Bowl. And I still think that's possible. And I agree with you. There's chances are greatly diminished, hard to quantify.
That's a really good way to put it, because when Shazier went out, you have a liability defense that could at least make some plays into maybe the worst defense in the entire league. And it is interesting. You lose Bud, and it's depressing, and you're like, man, you still got three all-pros on the defensive line.
Yeah, maybe Polamalu is a better example. Remember when he would go out, you could tell the difference. It was just like the hot water just turned to cold.
There's going to be a difference with Bud out. I mean, just strictly. I mean, teams are going to be able to roll protection to TJ now more than ever. Mike Tomlin addressed that this morning and said he doesn't think that will make a difference. He says it doesn't make a difference for a player like TJ Watt. But they're going to do it.
It's hard to believe that's true. Do you think that I wasn't being facetious. I'm maybe a little facetious about Keith Butler, but do you think they're going to dial up blitzes more now? Is Hilton going to be more active in the box, and they're just going to change schemes
They're going to have to find ways to do that, but you do not want to have to blitz and change schemes against great quarterbacks and great coordinators like an Andy Reid or whoever it is, because it really puts you out of position. But the Steelers, they still have a bunch of great guys on defense. Their defense is not as good now. I mean, like I said, it's an edge rusher. These guys get taken first overall in the draft. The only guys that get taken first in the draft are quarterbacks and edge rushers. There's only so many of these guys. It's a catastrophic injury for the Steelers. And last night when it happened, I thought the Super Bowl chances were done, given how putrid the offense has been all year. I don't know why the Steelers fans keep defending it. The offense generally sucks. I mean, they have four good drives a game, maybe three. And then usually the defense will set them up with the short field. I mean, they have moments where you think they should be great, but they're so inconsistent, they can't be considered a great unit. But here we are, and here's the silver lining, is that the potential is so much higher. I mean, you know that these players can make huge plays. I think that Ben has played better the past three games than he has the entire season. I know some people said he had some off-target passes yesterday. That's bull crap. I don't care.
We do not care.
There were a couple that weren't exactly that. There's a couple passes that receivers in the NFL get two hands on. Whatever. That's going to happen every single game. Do you want every pass to go in the guy's numbers? We'll talk about the drops thing in a second. We're almost burying the lead, because really that game is about Bud getting hurt in these drops. But the Steelers have talent elsewhere on the roster. And like I was saying, you got the great kick returner and great kicker. That's not for nothing. The offense is going to have to find a way to step up to be a consistent unit. And my prediction as a fan is that I've seen the Steelers do it before. I've seen them get hot in, what was it, 2016? Was that the year they went all the way to the AFC Championship game when they were riding Le'Veon for 40 touches a game and he was breaking Steeler yardage records every week? This was around the time of the season that year when they were like, screw it, we're just going to give it to Le'Veon every game or every play. Like when they played Buffalo in the snow, and they turned it around. But my instinct tells me, I can't think of many other examples when we're 12 weeks through the season and the offense isn't better than what it was in week two or three.
Yeah, in the 12th week of the season, the Steelers scored its lowest point total by 5 from the next lowest game, which, by the way, was the lowly now 3-8 Dallas Cowboys. You're not seeing the upward trajectory. Now, are they going to have hockey stick growth? Can we talk about those drop passes?
Yeah, that's the big theme of the game. Let's talk about them, because just my one sentence on it is that the Steelers blew out the Ravens. Yes, it's not one sentence. The Steelers blew out the Ravens yesterday. The Ravens were never close. I know everybody's freaking out because the Steelers played down to a JV team, and they're right. I loved Mike Tomlin's fire and brimstone press conference saying we sucked. We were junior varsity after the game, because he's right. But honestly, it was 10 drops. I mean, some people say it's 9. The NFL officially records 6. It was 10. I think you have them written down right here on our list. 10 drops. Deontay Johnson was a high school player in this game.
Who was the wide receiver 2 years ago? The guy we brought in for
Sammy
a year.
Coates?
No.
Oh, Moncrief. Who had a 55-yard kickoff return this week for the Patriots, by the way. Moncrief. We should have known that was the harbinger of bad news.
But it was like Moncrief. His day was like Moncrief.
Yeah, and he's always had a problem dropping the ball. We know that as Steelers fans. I think he was third in the NFL in fumbles last year. As a freaking wide receiver who only gets the ball two times a game from Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, he fumbled and dropped a lot at Akron. That's something that he's going to have to work on this year. I almost think that the how public and how bad he was yesterday might help him going forward. I mean, how you're going to have to take a whole summer to improve that element of your game. Like, people can do it. We saw James Conner do it with pass blocking and Le'Veon doing it with route running and all kinds of stuff. We've seen that happen before, so he's young. You know, they got to get that done. But there was 10 drop passes in the game, and maybe three of them were in the end zone or caught on the three-yard line that were going to go in for a touchdown. Steelers are 1 of 4 in the red zone, but really Ben threw about 4 touchdown passes in there. The Steelers would have won comfortably by 17 to 20 points if these guys had just caught half of those routine passes. None of them were difficult catches. And the Steelers would have blown them out, and there wouldn't be such an uproar today.
How gratifying it was for Mike Tomlin to finally talk like a football coach.
Yeah.
With anger. And I agree with you. I sort of felt like, you know, he always has, we did what we wanted. As a matter of fact, he came out after the first half and said, the only thing, we're executing the way we want to. The only thing that's missing are these drop passes.
He was right. They moved up another field at will. Every time they got the ball, they got to the 5-yard line. And I understand him keeping calm during the game like that. But you wait till after the game to see the whole finished product, because they could have erupted for 20 points in the second half. I understand that.
So I have a theory that I gave you last night as I was pulling you from the well of despair about these drop passes. Is this like COVID and everybody got infected with the dropsies? I think it had to have something to do with the weather. It was the first sub 40 degree game, and you could say all you want about, you know, cold weather town and everything, but there's a heightened pressure during the game, and it was cold. And these guys are relatively new guys to the North.
Yeah, and playing meaningful football late in the year. I'm just shocked that Juju had the drops. I even tweeted at one point, like, I think we might have some soft, warm weather receivers in Pittsburgh right now. Even the damn Notre Dame guy is dropping it. But just throw to Juju, and then Juju has two drops. But I think you're 100% right. And I don't want anyone who's listening to this think that we're cutting them a break, but I do think it is something like you're not going to drop 10 passes in a game again. I think the weird delay of this game, caused some lack of focus, but it really is the cold weather. Aaron Rodgers said something really cool in Pat McAfee's podcast the other day. They're asking about, you know, being a great quarterback, and they're talking about running quarterbacks and, you know, Kyler and Lamar and all these great new guys who are in the league. And Aaron Rodgers said, and one of the first two tools that make a truly great NFL quarterback, he said weather at the very top. I'm like, yeah, being able to throw in bad weather. You think about Ben and Brady. I mean, that's an underrated aspect of Brady. He's unaffected by weather. He's huge, huge hands. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. Brett Favre. Yeah, Tom. Ben. What about Drew Brees and Peyton Manning? I mean, Peyton eventually learned, but they were they're choke artists. They would lose in the playoffs because they got to play in domes all year long, you know? So playing in the weather is a skill, and it's different in the NFL because every hit hurts more. The ball is thrown much faster than it is in college, especially when you come in from Ben Roethlisberger, and it is something you have to get used to. I'm hoping that the public embarrassment causes these receivers to go in the other direction. And before the Bud Dupree injury, I actually found myself sure that the Steelers were going to light Washington on fire in 4 days. I don't care that it's just 4 days of rest. I just knew they were so bad and it was so embarrassing that the Steelers traditionally bounce back from those types of performances in major ways. And you can track it. We've tracked it before. I remember the Steelers got blown out by the Patriots or something and then were up 40 on the Chiefs in the first quarter. I think they were up by 21 points in the first 7 minutes or something. So they do respond well. I just wonder what the Bud Dupree injury will do to the morale of the team. Will they be able to rally quickly, hopefully, with all the great leadership? Or is that going to really distract them going into Monday? We'll find out. But this is a huge springboard game, I think, the way they respond.
It's hard to look at the psychology. I mean, even the professionals couldn't tell from out here. I mean, first of all, I think Stephon Tuitt comes in with the tail between his legs and fire in his belly to make up for that ridiculous tweet he put out there. The other thing is, I do think the public shaming will have to have some kind of effect. I mean, especially on the younger guys.
Yeah.
Here's the other scary thing is the run game. Ben had 51 pass attempts. That is the most since this week in 2018. And before that, it was another year before that before he had over 50 pass attempts. By necessity, it's working. And we've pointed this out over several weeks that this is, you know, you live by the sword, die by the sword. You're a one-dimensional game. I don't even know how to assess Benny Snell. I mean, he's getting a lot of, he was the one guy who got any credit, but it's hard to tell. I mean, he had a great run at the end of the game to kind of seal it for us, but is he our guy? Is that who we've got to rely on?
I have no problem with the passing numbers. Look, it was a historic game for drops. I mean, when's the last time you saw 10 dropped passes in one game? Ben should have finished, like I said, even just take out 5 of the drops. I'm not even saying you have to catch all of them. You're going to have a couple drops in a game, fine. He should have thrown for 320 to 350 yards with 3 touchdowns, and nobody would be complaining. He put the ball on the money every time you had an abnormal amount of drops, and then they were able to run in some situations when they needed to, and that's all you need. I don't know why Steelers fans are so obsessed with, we need to run more. How many times did you need to watch New England carve us into pieces with 50 throws? I think the game when they hung 50 on us, they ran 7 or 8 times in the whole game. Like, you don't need to if you don't have to. But here's the thing with the run game. Benny Snell, the Steelers don't have a guy. I mean, yeah, Connor usually is that guy. Benny Snell played great. He bounced off of a couple would-be tacklers. He ran strong, finished some runs. He's the least dynamic runner I've seen since Dwyer. But he did an awesome job in this game, like he did an awesome job against the Ravens in Week 17 last week. Mike Tomlin said, basically in the post-game presser, people asked about the run game. He said the only reason why we had any success, the only reason, he said, is the efforts of Benny Snell, the individual efforts of Benny Snell.
Well, to be clear, I don't care if they throw 100 times a game. It's actually more entertaining when we pass the ball. Sure. The scary thing is it was the inability to run it. And it's not like we were behind having to catch up through the air. It's just like so what are the numbers? Benny Snell, 16 attempts for 60 yards, a long of 13.
Yeah, and he was making them on his own. And this is what I'm saying. It's week 12. It's not going to get better. These coordinators, I think, are getting crazy confirmation bias because they've never lost the game and they're scared to make changes. The first thing I would do right now is I'm moving Filer to tackle and I'm putting Kevin Dotson in and I'm starting him. He's the best run blocker they have right now, and he's on the bench. And by the way, he was unbelievable in pass coverage when he's been in there. So I don't know if you're just scared to mix it up. But you should change that. You need to try something. It can't get worse than it already is. You know what I'm saying? So they're nervous about that. The Steelers receivers, particularly the young guys, they're not going to drop 8 passes in a game. But, man, the contested catch thing needs to come up. That first catch Claypool had of the year, that amazing catch against the Giants on the sideline in between 2 guys for 40 yards was so exciting because it's like, oh, this isn't just a Martavis Bryant run straight guy. This is Vincent Jackson. You have coordination on the sideline to make a toe drag, high point catch. He hasn't really done that since then. He's had a couple moments. He had that nice touchdown a week ago on that slant route where he jumped up in the middle, got crushed by a guy, caught it. But he needs to get better with contested catches because that deep element of the offense that we've been complaining about for a few weeks, it has come up a little bit in the past few weeks, but these guys need to make a damn contested catch. And if you can get some of that, I mean, there's so much yardage being left on the field. I actually think Ben is playing well. I think that people are downplaying that a little bit. I don't think that it's 2018, Ben, right? But I don't think it's that far from it. So, yeah, the run game, it hasn't shown an ounce of improvement. It maybe has regressed. So I don't know why you wouldn't try something different. Like maybe putting a Dotson in. We know they can't run out of obvious formations. Like was there a worse signing than Watt, Derek Watt? I mean, what a useless signing that was. You can't even run out of those personnels. They should really run more out of shotgun. By the way, also, it's just every week. I told you, we were on the phone. I tweeted it out. If it's 3rd and 4 or underneath, the Steelers are going to run bunch to one side and a pick play slant almost every time. And the problem is it worked 4 or 5 times, right, before they eventually jumped every route. Eventually someone's going to jump that and pick 6 it. And you're really relying on Ben being able to make a decision within like 0.7 seconds to make that happen. But you need the damn counter off that. Like, run that slant, go. They did some of that earlier this year. So I'm just nervous about the predictability. And, the run game's putrid. And the offense needs to take a step forward with the loss of Bud Dupree. And that's my only hope, is that there's some real desperation. And you know that it's really on you now that Bud's out.
Did you get a chance? I know you missed the very beginning of the game. Did you get to go back and see that initial interception by Ben in the end zone?
Yes. Yeah. I had to miss the first drive or two or whatever. I had it on to the side, but
they still don't have the all 22 up, so it's hard to tell what he was looking at when he threw. It was very awkward, you know, running to his left, off his back foot.
Yeah, it's a bad trend. He's freaking out sometimes in those end zone throws. Was it fourth down?
I believe it was fourth
down. Yeah, it's fourth down, I believe. And so I guess you're thinking, like, hey, I'm going to get sacked. I'll just throw it up anyways. But otherwise, he was accurate in the red zone other than that. So it's not just a red zone problem. I think the red zone offense should be much better this week. They've been good. I think they're number 7 or 6. Well, not after this week. They probably plummet a little bit. But they're a top 10 red zone offense. I think they'll be better. He's been mostly accurate. It's just those weird fourth down plays or end of the half plays when he's thinking, oh, I need to get something. It's like, you don't. You don't need to get something here. Like, it's over. Or I don't know why he didn't get more lob on that ball either. He just threw it right to the guy. So that was weird. But, you're not going to drop that many passes. You're not going to be that horrible in the red zone. You're also not going to play a JV team like that before. Bud Dupree, I don't know if they're going to bring somebody in. I would assume not. I mean, Highsmith, it's not as bad as what we had, putting Chicolo in. I mean, he's doing well. And then you have Ola behind him who has some experience. So that's, cool. So at least you can look from that standpoint of, hey, it's not a total disaster. You got some guys who have played, some guys who are decent. Will they bring in like a Clay Matthews or something like that? I know people are out there saying, where's Harrison at? But he's in the weight room. But, obviously no one's walking through the door with the cape on.
How about the Joe Hayden interception? When you saw him catch, it was great. I mean, it was like scripted. It looked like
the other one that they had
against
Baltimore
was in on it. What's that?
Well, it was identical spot in the field and a spot in the game. Third down on the first drive on their own 20-yard line or under the 20-yard line. The same one that Lamar Jackson threw to Bob Spokane the first game. So it's just weird. It's a nice little tradition we've developed.
Well, Hayden did a really nice job of staying on his feet because he stumbled. I mean, you got to see that replay, I assume.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Alex Kozora put up an article for Steelers Depot this week on who would the Steelers' emergency quarterback be if they had no quarterbacks, just to play off of that Denver Broncos situation. I didn't realize, A, Joe Hayden's from Maryland, and B, he was a stud quarterback in high school. I mean, you assume half of these guys were stud quarterbacks in high school, right? Just the best athlete. But, yeah, he wore number one, and he just slithered in between people. He's very smooth.
So one of the bigger disappointments, other than what we've already covered, is your favorite, Ray-Ray McCloud.
No, Ray-Ray, why'd you do us like that, man? I can't even be mad. When it happened, you get mad, and you're like, okay, I mean, everyone gets one, right? So that's all I'm going to say with Ray-Ray. He's been the best kick returner in the league. Cordarrelle Patterson being the other one. Everyone gets one. No further comment on that.
I will say, it's frustrating to watch, but man, what a man. He did not fair catch that. Probably discretion would have been the better part of valor on that. But if you want the big-time plays, they're going to roll the dice once in a while. Like, my rule is, if you catch the ball in the end zone, just put a knee down. That's 25 easy yards. But no, if he gets it with his feet anywhere close to the goal line, he's taking it out. You don't get the big returns unless you return it. So
he's been
won the game. Maybe it's a lesson for him as far as fair catching.
Yeah.
And we'll take that as a learning lesson.
Hey, I just put that into another Florida wide receiver, a young Florida wide receiver who wasn't ready for the cold a little bit. I mean, it was more the decision, right? Whether it's cold or not, you were getting smacked the second you touched that. But yeah, he's been unbelievable. You're going to fumble every once in a while. It's fine. You know, Ben throws interceptions. Even Le'Veon would fumble once a year. Even Hines Ward fumbled. Antonio Brown fumbled twice against the Jets 5 years ago when we lost that game to Michael Vick the week after Ben's back-to-back 6-touchdown games. So, it happens to everybody. The thing that you might want to be a little bit more worried about is Boswell's second missed extra point in the last 2 or 3 weeks. That's not ideal. He's been phenomenal this year, but 2 missed extra points. I guess maybe you could think of it as him getting it out of his system?
I don't know. Cold weather. Who knows what that is? As long as he's still making his field goals. The other thing was really frustrating is the touchdown to Brown, the 70-yard touchdown pass Edmonds. Edmonds.
Edmonds ruined everything cool he did last. I take back everything I said about him after the interceptions last week. That was the most pathetic, unathletic play for a professional athlete I have seen in a little while. I don't even know if you can qualify it as going for the interception, but he went for the interception after the ball was already in the dude's hands, completely misses his body and just slides past him out of bounds. It was just, I think that they got really cocky when McSorley went in. McSorley blows. Okay, we might have some Penn State fans on here. He is hot garbage. I would love for him to be the quarterback of a team the Steelers play. First thing he does is go in there and throw it directly to get rocked by Minkah Fitzpatrick on the sideline. Rocked by him, talks trash, then throws the ball directly to Minkah, where Minkah had the easiest pick six of his illustrious Steelers career so far, and his eyes got bigger than dinner plates, and he ended up dropping the ball. But then he sent that pass to Brown, like, okay, just let him, just tackle him, right? But then you gave him a little bit of confidence. So that was just a terrible play by Terrell Edmonds, honestly. And he's back into the neutral from the positive that he got the week before.
So, Nicholas, Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. And you know what? You don't want to get something lame. You don't want to get, like, underwear. But you do want to get something that can accent your underwear. You want to get something that can make you feel like a whole new man every single day. And that's Manscaped. Number one in the world for men's below-the-belt grooming. We've talked about them for a long time. Listen, these are the kind of guys that shave in the dark. These are the kind of guys who eat beef jerky and shoot guns into the air. These are the kind of guys who don't fair catch on punts. Look good, feel good, feel good, play good. You know the saying, Manscaped has patented skin-safe technology so you can actually shave in the dark because they use the Lawnmower 3.0 technology to essentially make sure that, like, it's impossible to cut yourself. It's incredible. I can give you the user testimonial. I've tried. Can't do it. You can shave in the dark, like I said, because they got a light. It's waterproof. But long story short is, just put it this way. I have a leather pouch, you know, one of those bathroom pouch bag things from Manscaped. Just broke it out again this morning. It has everything you need. The shaver is just from the future. It's so smooth. And then they have a bunch of balms and oils and stuff like that you can use to help yourself out as well. Please have some pride. Manscape it up. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
You know what I learned this weekend? Or after yesterday?
What?
Parlays pay off big.
They do. And they pay off
really big. They're just tough to win.
They're tough to win, but they pay off really big. I bet online. Bet online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on all the action imaginable this season. You know what? Screw it. Steelers are winning it out. They're winning out. Put it down. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Maybe you can place a bet on whether Derek Carr wearing eye makeup during games will come out or not. I refuse to believe that there's no mascara going on there, but maybe BetOnline will let you get in on that action. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, ching, your online sportsbook experts.
In the category of obscure statistics, T.J. Watt now has 45.5 career sacks, the 10th most of any player through his first four seasons in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he has like five or six more to crack the top five all time. That's amazing. And I think that he will unleash hell. By the way, I feel like we maybe didn't talk enough about the human element of Bud. We mentioned it. It's almost like, do you even have to? I mean, we are a Bud-loving podcast. I told you for years on this podcast that I didn't think he could improve. I've never really seen anyone except for Ike Taylor and a handful of guys here or there really improve after their second or third year when he was generally considered a bust, and he did it. He proved me wrong. He proved pretty much there. Listen, nobody should ever claim, oh, I called it. Everyone thought Bud Dupree was dead in the water. And he proved every single person on the earth except for Mike Tomlin and his teammates wrong. Because he didn't even flash anything of, like, besides, we know he's fast and he's big, but he has no moves. And then he just came out last year and hey, I'm an elite edge rusher now. I got moves. I hung out with Von Miller and TJ for a couple weeks. Yeah, I got it done. And he's loved by his teammates. I mean, he's played with like a broken arm half the season one year and whatever he had on his leg the other year. He's going to get a good contract probably, but like we said, he lost that money. That's just depressing. Him and TJ Watt are like they're stepbrothers. Like they are really close. They got all those celebrations, always hanging out with each other. You know, reporters will say like, hey, these guys are attached at the hip. They're always together. TJ, I think, is pretty gutted about the loss. Even JJ Watt knew that he was gutted about it, so he tweeted about it. So that really sucks. Yeah, I don't remember where I was really going with that, but it just, you know, you feel for a guy like that, and that's probably the last time we'll see him in a Steelers uniform.
Yeah, well, let me bring it back, because we're talking about sacks. The Steelers now have extended their sack streak to 68 games, and what are we, a sack away or a game away from establishing a record, which means nothing as far as the Super Bowl. I just find it interesting to track that.
Get it. Go get it, boys. Don't let this hold you back.
So the Steelers play Washington, Washington Football Club, as I've renamed it.
Right.
Monday at 5 o'clock, another game. We've got to get out of work early to watch.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. That's hilarious. Wait, what? It's at 5 o'clock?
5 p.m. Monday.
That pisses you know me off. I'm going to miss the whole thing. I just realized that right now, live on the podcast. The entire thing. I hate you, Roger Goodell. I want to break Roger Goodell's teeth out of his mouth and make him swallow them. That's what I want to do. I hate Roger Goodell. Oh, here's the other funny thing. John Harbaugh complaining about the Steelers' delay of game penalty that didn't happen at the end of the first half when the players were lying on the ground and not letting the Ravens get up. Hey, what about your week-long delay of game penalty? Huh? Has anybody complained about your dumbass? Sorry. Holding. We can't play today. What about tomorrow? Okay. We can't play today either. Okay, what about the next day? No. It's too hard. Okay, why don't we delay the entire NFL schedule and the rest of the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule 1 week to make room for you, Johnny? Is that going to be okay? Yeah. But then they cheated, and then they made me wait. John Harbaugh, fist yourself in the mouth and die. I hate you. Okay. Sorry. I'm angry that I'm missing the entire game of the season there. It's going to be hard. The Washington team has an incredible defensive line. They can run the ball in defense. They've got their stuff together. They're not that potent on offense, but they got Terry McLaurin. That doesn't scare me too much. He's awesome, but that's just really one guy. The Steelers should take care of business, but Washington's feeling excellent after that Thanksgiving Day win. They have 10 freaking days of rest to the Steelers 4. The Steelers would be wise to win this game by 14 points. Find a way to do it. I don't care. They are much more talented than Washington. They got to make it happen. But I also think the general viewership doesn't realize that Washington is actually a team on the rise. They're similar to that Jaguars team that got such a great defense when you realize, oh, when you suck for 10 years in a row and your entire front seven is made up strictly of top 10 overall draft players, it gets to be pretty good there. So it's not going to be easy. I still think the Steelers should spank them.
We follow the next 2 weeks with 8 o'clock games. First, Buffalo on Sunday night, 8:20, and the following week, Monday Night Football against the Bengals at Cincinnati. And we end up Indianapolis coming to Pittsburgh and finally traveling to Cleveland for the ultimate game of this regular season.
We'll see what happens. Offense got to learn how to step it up and quickly.
Visit the website, SteelersOutpost.com. Hit us up on Twitter at SteelersOutpost or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.